What's up, Pels fans? Welcome back to the Bird Calls. This is SB Nation's podcast dedicated to thebirdrights.com, your one-and-done stop for all the best and latest analysis on your New Orleans Pelicans. Now, my name's Preston Ellis, and I have sadly been ruled out of the preseason due to a strained left ring finger. So, it's substitute teacher day. But before we go any further, don't forget to check previous episodes previewing the Southwest Division, the Western Conference over-unders, and a special behind-the-scenes tour to Pelicans Media Day. But for now, let's talk some Pels.
Well, hello, listeners. This is Travis Tate. I've been on the podcast a few times with Preston, and Preston isn't here, but my good friend Trevor Ritchie is here. We are the Big Picture Boys, and with Preston out, we're going to put out about a 15-minute pod. We're going to go over some of the preseason stuff and kind of look forward to the home opener, which is on the 18th. So it's just a few days. But Trevor, tell me about the teams that the Pelicans have played thus far. And by the time this comes out, we will have played Memphis as well. And what you take from how we played in those games.
All right, Travis. Well, it's good to be with you. First of all, we are pro-marriage, as said on a previous podcast. So shout out to Preston. As far as the Bulls go, I think when we started out with them, and we obviously played them again, they're going to be a decent three-point shooting team. They're obviously on the bottom tier of the NBA right now. Through the Bulls at home, then OKC, and then the Bulls away, we have held opposing three-point percentage around 35%, which is slightly under the league average. So in that respect, where we might question how we're going to cover the three against some more athletic teams, we are sitting around league average, which is decent to see. Would like to see it come lower. In the first game, we had AD with 24 points, Cousins with 20, Drew with 11, Etuan Moore. I was actually at that game, and Etuan Moore lit it up, 16 points, 6 of 9, 66% shooting. OKC away, Cousins only played about 14 minutes, AD about 16 minutes. It was just a solid game. Perry Jones had 28 minutes, so you could just see what Gentry was doing in that game. Then when we went back to the Bulls, I think the one note I had throughout this preseason is players going missing. Etuan had 16 points in the first game, and then he comes out in the second game and 16 minutes and was just missing in action, straight MIA. Then Dante played 25 minutes in the Bulls game in Chicago. He played 25 minutes and had 2 points and one rebound. And I get that AD had 37, Cousins had 22. DeMarcus in the away game against the Bulls had 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists, which is incredible. But I think that's something we expect. I mean, we know what this Pelicans team is, and we know that we're going to have nights where certain players go missing because we've never had the most consistent team. But what I've seen so far is around what I expected, and it's being improved upon. So I'm content with what I've seen this preseason.
So I believe what I'm taking from you is that you think that probably our lack of consistency, it sounds like, at the wing is what's going to allow this team to win enough games to really make a push in the West. Do you see this team, now that you've seen them play a few times, really making that early push where we got to get through those first like 12 games or so, and then, you know, continuing to play well through injuries? We've already got injuries that we all well know about. But is this a team that's going to be in a situation to make playoffs by the time we get to, say, the All-Star break?
By the All-Star break,
we are the Big Picture Boys here. We're thinking long term.
I think our stretch after the All-Star break, before we get into about the last 10 to 15 games, that will be a good stretch. That last 10 to 15 games is pretty tough. I think we're going to be on the bubble come the All-Star break. I think this start is going to be hard without Rondo. In the first preseason game against the Bulls, that Holiday Moore combo did very well. It did well in the open practice that I went to. I was very surprised and was very anxious to see that. The first game, it was awesome. And then against OKC, trying some different things, it didn't really work. But depending on what solutions we have and what solutions we see Alvin Gentry try against Memphis, will give us a little bit more of an indication. But I do I've seen a playoff team this entire time. How high in the seeding, I don't know, but I've seen a playoff capable team. Let's go with that.
Well, and you know, one of the crazy things about this Western Conference, and even maybe more specifically this division that we're in the West, just seems like, you know, well, first of all, year after year, it's loaded. It's not just this year, but, you know, we're looking at maybe three of the best four teams in the West, and then a team in Memphis that's made the playoffs for like, what, 9 straight years or something. So, I mean, what is it that you think that we can do to vault ourselves ahead of those teams that are in our division? I mean, is there any way that we somehow sneak up and, man, because even then, there's no way we're getting top four. All the, those three, are, I mean, do you picture any one of those teams maybe falling down? Like, you see OKC or Houston not being legit, maybe?
I don't. I see the top four as a lock, essentially. I think something we can do, you brought up Memphis, not necessarily pertaining to Memphis, but one thing we can do is limit opponent three-point percentage, and I think that's going to be big. I think it's hard when you see a player like Boogie play point guard essentially and get 9 assists in a game, and we've seen throughout these first few preseason games and throughout the preseason as a whole, these guys kind of play out on the wing, more of in a guard setting almost, and I think doing that is going to force other teams to maybe play as small ball as they can to get some more athletic guys on them.
Well, what do you think that's going to pose a problem? Yeah, sorry to jump in, but I mean, what do you think it means if they're playing Dante at the 3 for major minutes for him? I mean, is he going to be able to make an impact at that position?
And that's going to, it depends on what he can do. Essentially, whoever we play at the 3, and I think it's going to be a move for a decoy, essentially. We just need them to be a threat enough to pull defenders out onto the wing from them to get to create space. And that's the person we need to find. I don't know if that's Dante. It honestly, so far, it doesn't look like it's Darius Miller. But we just need someone that's threatening enough to pull defenders out there to create space. Dante, like I said in the last preseason game, which once this comes out, it will be the second to last preseason game. Dante had 25 minutes and only had 2 points and 1 rebound, and that was partially because AD got to the free throw line however many times. He went 22 of 23 at the free throw line, and that kind of slowed the pace of the game down, and he just kind of took over. But I don't know. I don't know what that's going to create for. It poses a problem. And it really, the Rondo injury hurts on top of it. But I think as far as the division and as far as the Western Conference as a whole, if we can learn how to create space and use AD and Boogie in those guard wing roles and still be able to defend on the other side, we'll definitely have a good shot.
What do you think going down a position from there, actually? Because now that the Rondo injury has happened, and I guess I think I saw a tweet or a story that the surgery went well, correct? I mean, I think I saw something online about
that's
that.
The indication. Yeah. That's the indication that I've seen.
But so now that he goes to the back to the 1, what does this team look like at the 2? I mean, we've got a lot of, it seems like, mediocre options at that particular position. Is there somebody that you can see jumping in there and grabbing a bunch of minutes? I know you've got to be a big Jordan Crawford fan. Just knowing you, Trevor, but I would guess that, you know, now is going to be as good of a chance as any for somebody like him.
I think Jordan Crawford's role is going to be increased. I think he's still off the bench. I wouldn't be so certain that Drew gets bumped down to the point guard position. I think that there's a strong possibility that Ian Clark might start point guard and then keep Drew off ball just to retain what will be the system once Rondo comes back. You know, it might pose a problem if we
think
move
he can
him back.
Play? You think Ian Clark can play, start at the 1?
I think he can play. I get tired of his floaters every time he goes to the rim, but that's just personal preference. But no, I think he's good. I think he's played well. He shoots. He takes smart shots. I think he's a leader enough to do so. I think the team has a respect for him from what I've seen and heard. And I think the option is, do you want to move Drew down to the 1 and play Etuan at the 2? Or, and then assumably it would be Dante at the three, or do you want to try to run that system that you were looking at and keep Ian Clark at the one spot to allow Drew to continue and learn how to play off the ball in the system? And I personally, for some reason, I'm leaning towards Ian Clark starting at the one, but I guess we'll see that narrative play out, and it's definitely still a trial and error roster right now.
Yeah, wow, that's very interesting. What becomes now of Darius Miller? That's a guy that you and I and Preston and many others have talked a lot about in terms of expecting big minutes out of and going to start potentially at the three. Does he just slide in there as just your pure backup 3/4? I mean, when he comes in, who's going to be in there with him? You know, is he going to go out there? Is the second unit going to be led by Cousins, for instance? And is Cousins going to be able to kind of utilize the guys that he's got out there with him really well, just because he can obviously pass and create his own shot and get to the free throw line and everything. But, you know, which guys that play with him in that second unit you think are going to shine?
I think it depends on, obviously, to piggyback off that question, and I'll try to get back to it and incorporate my answer, but it was kind of a, let's try to keep AD, one of AD or Boogie on the court at the same time, which would be probably Anthony and Drew and then Boogie and Rondo. So I'm curious to see if Clark does slide up into the one role, will that second unit involve AD and Drew going to the bench and then possibly seeing something like Ian Clark, Etuan Moore, Darius Miller, Dante and Boogie in a second unit for a while to give AD and Drew, or the opposite way around and flip those two. I think that's a good
combination. I like Etuan in there as a guy who can catch and shoot.
Exactly. And then if you honestly, for a second unit, if you're keeping Boogie on the court and AD goes to the bench first, even if it's not Etuan, maybe he's in the three role to start and he comes out and Dante comes in, or whichever way you want to run it. If you bring Jordan Crawford in and Ian Clark in a second unit backcourt, I mean, that's pretty dynamic, and that can pose some problems for, like you said, that they're not scared to shoot. I mean, Ian Clark has really been lights out. He takes smart shots. He was 5 of 8 in the first game, 62% from the field. And then he was 4 for 6, 66% from the field. So he knows what he's doing. He controls the game well. So that's why I am pushing for that to be the move.
You know, another guy I was thinking about that might, maybe this seems to be kind of against conventional thought, but I would wonder how often Gentry and all their guys want to get Drew on the floor at the same time with DeMarcus. Without AD, it seems like, you know, we've done a lot of talking about the other combo because we've seen them before, obviously, Drew with AD. But now I'm wondering what do you think about Drew joining that second team maybe and kind of just him and DeMarcus just kind of wrecking?
If that's the move, I like that combo because that still honestly allows Drew to remain off the ball some.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know what, Drew in those types of lineups can probably shift up to guard the three if they've got someone at the one that they're not crazy about and they want to move him over to somebody who's more hidden on offense or something.
And that's where you start running into some problems when it comes to transition defense, because if the other team plays small ball to defend your athletic bigs, and let's say DeMarcus is bringing the ball up the court in the second unit with Drew, and you have to, and Drew is, then you have to transition if Drew's guarding the three and then Boogie's coming off of us. It's just kind of, it's weird in that kind of role and that kind of setting, depending on shot selection really helps a lot. And that's something that we sometimes DeMarcus has to do a little bit better job of. But I think that's awesome. It's hard. Like I said earlier, it keeps going back to that trial and error. You just keep having to try those things so you know what to do. And that Rondo injury really put us in a spot where it's like, that's what we're sitting here talking about. What's the second unit? What happens when these players play together? But right now, before the season starts, it all sounds like good combinations, and unless you just make yourself a bad one. So it's just something we have to wait and see.
Yeah. And so getting to that, what do you think we're going to see when we play Memphis in the season opener. That's on the 18th of October, and today is what, the 13th? Today is the Friday the 13th.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, 5 days. Yeah, scariest day of the year. Well, no, it's got to be, right?
A little bit.
More so than Halloween?
Yeah. I don't know. Some people don't think so, but that's a different discussion.
You can go either way, but that's a totally different podcast. But what do you see in 5 days? We go to Memphis. Tony Allen is going to get a huge standing ovation and the whole deal. I mean, he's beloved there.
Why hasn't he been brought up this entire time? We talk about second unit.
Yeah, we missed out there, but now we can talk about him.
I am honestly in favor. I don't think it would be a bad idea for him to start in the three. If we're talking, I don't know. I just like the defensive presence. I've been, since I was a child, been a big Tony Allen fan. I remember.
You could say that that would like send a message to this team, like, hey, this is the kind of team we want to be. We're going to the place where this guy became this way, and let's see what we can take from him.
And why not put him in there? Why not give him the crease role when he knows it? You know, he knows those guys. He knows what to do. He knows how to lead. He should know how to lead a team against them. So
yeah, I like it.
He should be a big proponent of that game. What I was going to say, man, is I remember one of the first times I actually learned who he was as a kid and gained respect for him was, I believe it was an interview with Kobe Bryant after one of those final series, and they asked who he thought the toughest defender was that he had to face, and he said Tony Allen. And as a kid, when you idolize those players like that, you're like, man, you know, would have never really honestly guessed Tony Allen. You know, I didn't really know who he was. So from there, I just kind of watched his presence. I watched what he did in Boston. I watched what he did for Memphis. And he's an incredible guy, and I'm very glad that we signed him. I think he could slide into the starting role at times. He'll definitely be a valuable presence in the second unit. And I don't know if you saw the video of how emotional he was when they announced that they'd be retiring his number in Memphis, but he definitely deserves it.
Yeah, that's a really great story. That's just one of the most respected players in the NBA, I think, legitimately, in terms of a veteran, a guy who's never been like a absolute superstar because he's never going to score like that. But, you know, obviously when you've got Kobe Bryant saying something like that, and there are many other players in the NBA who feel the same way, I'm sure they don't want to play against him. Do you think we win that game maybe on the backs of Tony Allen and Etuan Moore, or do you think that Cousins and Davis can have their way against Gasol, and then whoever's going to be starting at the four for them, maybe Jermichael Green?
I think that presents I think one of them will have a really good game and the other one be able to help create space. Right now, AD leads the preseason in points per game at 25 points per game. I see them being able to have their way a bit down low. I think that Memphis isn't going to be the greatest three-point shooting team, which allows us to kind of slack off in certain areas as far as transition and as far as different matchups that we can't afford to when it comes to the home opener against the Warriors. So I think we have a little bit of an advantage when we play teams that have a lower aptitude for three-point shooting, because we can do a little bit more. I think that, like I said earlier, that Tony Allen's presence will help. I think our only downfall will be is if those second team combinations and whoever we throw in the starting lineup, if that just doesn't work out and it's just not a fit, that's where we'll run into a problem, because then the rest, and that shouldn't happen, because we should find that out tonight. But if that happens, then the rest of the game is just, you know, what do we do? Who should we play where? And I think that's the only way that we lose that game. Other than that, I see it being competitive, and I see what I've seen this whole season, this whole preseason, is Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are just doing their thing and finding a way to win a ball game.
All right, we're going to go out on one last big picture item. That would be, who do you think is going to be MVP of the league at the end of this year?
How about you start? Because I got to have a second to think about that, man.
I'm gonna have to kind of talk through it, because the real answer is I don't really know, but I think I'm going to be able to talk myself into somebody. I know that a lot of the NBA Twitter sphere is all about Kawhi Leonard winning, because he's going to be probably the best player to not be playing with another superstar.
No, I think if we're asking who I think the most valuable player is, in my definition of the most valuable player, it's going to be Kawhi. If you take him off that team, I think right now he is the most valuable player in the league for that fact. I mean, take him off the team, look at it and then tell me what you have left. You know, I think that's going to be why he would be my most valuable player, but that's not who I think will win the award.
Yeah. Who do you think would win the award this year? Durant, maybe?
My hope's going to win it is LeBron James. I would love that narrative. I would love the narrative with IT out until after January that LeBron wants vengeance. He's back with Dwayne Wade. He has his guy. The bench is deep. He's going to be able to rest. He's going to be able to save himself. He's going to be able to lead a team. And when you value that into how someone is the most valuable player, I would love to see him win it just for the narrative. Kyrie leaves, and then you find a way to rebuild and still stick a championship roster together. I honestly thought he was probably the most valuable player last year, and I'm not one of those LeBron guys.
He's the most valuable player every year. He's the best player.
I think so. I don't know. I think Steph deserved his.
Well, yeah, back probably. Back. All right, fair enough.
The Derrick Rose was probably
that was stupid. Not,
it wasn't a sympathy vote, but it was like, we're tired of giving it to LeBron. Let's give it to this kid.
Well, Chicago, cool, they had story, such a good year that year.
And you knew this year that it was going to, I mean, the last MVP, that it was going to be between Russell and James Harden. But I think at least last year, LeBron was the MVP to me. I think that was my definition last year. I thought that LeBron was my definition of the most valuable player. And this year, I think that's going to be Kawhi Leonard. You can't ever bet against LeBron. You know, it's hard. Actually, last year, I predicted Russell Westbrook to win the MVP before the season. So maybe I'm onto something. But
yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say LeBron. I would have to. I feel awful.
I'm going to add a couple of names here just because as a way to, I guess, just look at maybe guys. Maybe this is more so guys who would be MVPs in, like, say, 2 or 3 years. But I think that maybe you'll see a great year from John Wall again. And maybe they'll be, like, the third best team in the East. And, you know, maybe they'll push somebody. And, you know, I'm just sort of generally interested in where that team is headed. And then, obviously, I'm a big Giannis fan. In Milwaukee, I just don't know if they're going to win enough games, but I do think that he's, you know, going to be in the conversation for, you know, all NBA type guy. But it's just kind of, where do you put him? Cause you're going to have LeBron and I imagine you're going to have AD. But you know, he's great. So just another,
I hope so. I mean, if we make the playoffs last year, I mean, if we have a little bit better luck than we did last year, AD's definitely in the MVP race.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way that either of them. I think Anthony Davis might find his way into a defensive player of the year conversation. Yeah. But I don't think, obviously, what most people are going to say is, with both of them, DeMarcus and Anthony, down low, how could one of them win the most valuable player? And so that kind of takes that away a little bit. But I think they're both. I thought it was awesome when Kevin Garnett said he wanted to see DeMarcus win the MVP. I mean, wouldn't we all? But I don't know. I'm going to have to go with LeBron.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess in the end, I'll go with what's wrong with Kevin Durant? I'll take Kevin Durant. So anyway, that's the end of the podcast.
That was the most disappointing two picks for you.
What was that?
So that was the most disappointing two picks we could have gave our audience.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm rooting for John Wall. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Okay. So that has been the whatever this is podcast on the Bird Rights SB Nation, thebirdrights.com. Read all of our stories. Trevor, you got anything coming up on the Bird Rights?
I do have something coming up. Thank you. I was just about to add that in. I will be writing the preview to the home opener against the Warriors, and I will also be giving live coverage at that game, and I will also have the recap afterwards. So if you're looking forward to that home opener, you can follow me at Richie, RitchieTMR on Twitter for that coverage.
Great, that's fantastic. So this has been our podcast. Preston, we miss you. Congratulations on your wedding. And is he on? Where is he? He's in Florida or something, or California?
I have no. That was two very spaced out places you just named. So he's somewhere.
Somewhere. He's somewhere on the internet anyway.
Yeah, no, right. He's on the internet. He's just, it's just big picture as far as, you know, where he's at physically. So,
and this has been your big picture, boys. All right.
Yep. Pro marriage.
Bye.
And that's it for now, Pelicans fans. Again, if you like what you're hearing, you know the drill. Retweet, share, rate. And as always, you can get all the latest news on your Pels at thebirdrights.com. But for now, let's get excited, people. Basketball's back. Let's go, Pels.